You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, July 24th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. Yeah, I got to talk to Mom today. I'm headed out to my birthplace of Nampa, Idaho next weekend. It's my 30-year high school reunion. Oh my God, 30 years. Since I was last a Nampa Bulldog. And, you know, I was actually the Nampa Bulldog. I was the school mascot. I actually shared the gig with another young lady who was about a foot shorter than I. So the Bulldog kept changing heights. It was funny as hell. Anyway, we've got plenty to talk about on today's show. But before I get to the introductions, you know, we started this week all talking about the Sandra Bland case. And then it ending up yesterday with all the marijuana smear coming out like clockwork. Marijuana, the drug that made Trayvon Martin aggressive, that made Michael Brown impervious, made Sandra Bland suicidal, and made Jared Loughner homicidal. What a remarkable drug this is. Now, today, we begin the day with news of yet another horrific mass shooting in America. We're on day 204. Of this year, right? It's the 204th day of 2015, and there have been 204 mass shootings in this country. This latest one in Lafayette, in a theater, at a screening of the Amy Schumer comedy Trainwreck. Two people are dead, and the gunman dead by his own hand. And this is where it gets freaky to me, because the gunman's name is John Russell something. Was it Houseman? Houser? John Russell, we got to find the link on this guy. Houser, I think it was. But those of you know me as Radical Russ, you don't may not realize that my legal name is John Russell. Yeah, Houser, guy's name, John Russell Houser. Now, he doesn't spell Russell with two L's like I do. But it's weird when a serial killer's name or a mass shooter's name ends up being yours, because that's how they'll refer to this guy from now on, John Russell Houser. And it's like, nah. Makes you twins just a little bit. Anyway, on today's show, plenty to talk about because we're going across the pond. We get to visit with our long lost friend, Greg DeHote, a.k.a. Cannabis Cure UK. He's with the UK Cannabis Social Clubs as well as Normal UK. And he's got all sorts of great news to tell us about the development in cannabis policy out there in the UK. Also on the show today, in time for the Radical Rant, we're going to talk about somebody that we'll learn about in our Behind the Headlines segment. And in Behind the Headlines today, we're going to talk about Sid Maurer. No, not Travis Maurer, but Sid Maurer, and as far as I know, no relation. A 25-year-old young lady who is a morning news anchor at the television station, the ABC affiliate in Eugene, Oregon, just 100 miles south of us. And she was fired because she got a little fender bender, had to take the corporate piss test, failed the corporate piss test, and has now come out as an advocate for marijuana rights. So we're going to hear from her recorded statement, and then in the Radical Rant, we'll talk about that. Also, in drug war data mining, we're going to go to Denmark. That's right, we got stats from Denmark. We cover the whole world here. But first, we'll start with the 420 radio news. Lots of headlines. The new medical marijuana laws for Washington State take place today. CDC freaking out about a pot cookie. Arizona Court of Appeals disagrees on the smell of pot as probable cause. And more coming up right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi. I'm Trickster Phillips from St. Charles County, Missouri, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Cannabis culture goes way back, you dig? Way before hippies and beatniks and pigs. Back to hep cats like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway. Soulful dames like Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. All the way to old Blue Eyes and the Rat Pack. So come spark up a jazz cigarette and take a trip back to when marijuana was jive, muggles, reefer, and tea. It's the new Viper Hour, daddy-o, see? The early 20th century archives of blues, jazz, and swing that defined the cannabis culture and everything. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. and weekends at 1 a.m. Pacific on 420radio.org, the home for marijuana music. Yeah.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalrus. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, July 24th, 2015. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in a report released Friday, says the case of a teen who leaped to his death from a Denver hotel balcony after eating marijuana-infused cookies illustrates, quote, a potential danger, end quote, with edible pot. The CDC, along with a Colorado health official and Denver's medical examiner's office, said the death suggests the need for greater public health education to discourage marijuana overconsumption. Levi Tamba, a 19-year-old student at Northwest College in Powell, Wyoming, died at a Holiday Inn in northeast Denver in March 2014. Officials say his friends tried to calm him down before his fatal four-story leap. The city's coroners listed marijuana intoxication from cannabis-infused cookies as a significant condition contributing to Tamba's death. His death was classified as an accident. According to the CDC, some studies have suggested an association between cannabis and psychological disturbances. Washington state regulators are getting tough with new marijuana laws set to take effect Friday. The law prevents any medical marijuana processor from using highly explosive butane gas to manufacture marijuana extracts. But an I-502 licensed recreational processor can use butane because the facility is in a highly controlled and state-certified environment. Among the other marijuana regulations to take effect Friday, post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury are added as qualifying conditions. A qualifying condition must be severe enough to significantly interfere with the patient's activities of daily living and ability to function, which can be objectively assessed and evaluated. Healthcare practitioners who write more than 30 authorizations per month must report the number to the department and cannot have a practice that consists primarily of authorizing the medical use of marijuana. No more than 15 plants may be grown in a single housing unit, even if multiple patients or designated providers reside there. Just days after three judges in one division of the Arizona Court of Appeals said the smell of marijuana is not enough for a search, a second panel in another division have reached a contrary conclusion. The judges on Thursday upheld the actions by police officers who searched a vehicle they had stopped after detecting the smell of burnt marijuana. The unanimous three-judge panel acknowledged that 2010's Arizona medical marijuana law specifically allows those with a doctor's recommendation and state-issued card to possess up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana. But the judges don't read the law as making the possession of the drug legal. Instead, it simply immunizes those who have an ID card issued under the law from prosecution. What all that means, they said, is police remain free to search based on smell alone, with the only issue being whether someone can then be prosecuted. Teens who have legal permission to use medical marijuana are 10 times more likely to say they're addicted than those who get the drug illegally, a new study shows. University of Michigan researchers looked at nearly 4,400 high school seniors, including 48 who had medical marijuana cards, 266 who used others' medical marijuana, and those who bought the drug from street dealers. Teens who used medical marijuana were far more likely to report problems with addiction, the researchers found. Researchers also assessed 5 risk behaviors associated with the use of marijuana and other drugs. Teens who used others' medical marijuana had the highest risk of engaging in all 5 risky behaviors, including using marijuana more often to get high and using alcohol and prescription pills, the study found. Teens who got marijuana from illegal sources were least likely to engage in the risky behaviors, according to the study published in the August issue of the Journal of Adolescent Health. A police force in the northeast of England will no longer actively pursue cannabis smokers and small-scale growers in order to prioritize its resources against more serious crime. Durham's Police and Crime Commissioner, Ron Hogg, said the move was an effort to cut costs and keep users out of the criminal justice system, while focusing scarce resources on gangs and organized crime. Indicating his support for the decriminalization of drug use, Hogg also said he was prepared to meet the Home Secretary, Theresa May, to discuss the matter. The move has been interpreted as a shift toward the effective decriminalization of cannabis. Hogg told The Guardian that his officers would still enforce the law if they got complaints from the public about cannabis users and growers. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, July 24th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines, and today we bring you some audio from a video posted by a young lady who has joined a very exclusive club, a club that I'm a member of, and maybe some of you listening out there, and that is the highly qualified employees fired for a piss test. That's right. Although mine was a hair test, same idea. Drug testing claims yet another successful, and in this case, up-and-coming young, talented person. Her name is Sid Maurer, and she was the morning news anchor for the ABC affiliate down in Eugene, Oregon. That's about an hour south of us. I know, about 2 hours south. It's 100 miles. It's the home of the University of Oregon, the Ducks. And she was the morning anchor. And she went on a drive going to a remote shoot somewhere, and in the company car, tapped a fender, bumped someone, right? And then so there was the report, and the report and the insurance and the company policy. She had to do a pee test. She tells her employer, hey, look, I'm a recreational marijuana consumer, and that's legal in this state, right? It's legal. And he says, well, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to take the pee test. So, of course, she takes the pee test. Of course, she fails the pee test. And, of course, they fired her. So she has now started a new website called AskMeAboutMarijuana.com. And all that's on there is the video currently, but I imagine she'll be branching out soon. I reached out to her via Twitter. I'm going to try to get her this weekend on some other means, if I can find her email or anything like that. But we'd really like to talk to her here at 420 Radio. I think she's got a tremendous story to tell. And as a television journalist, she's very photogenic. She's very good on the camera as well. On the live camera, I'm saying, not other than the photogenic, right? We'll see how she would do as radio, but I think she'd do just fine. Let's give a listen to her. This is Sid Maurer, the former Eugene morning anchor, coming out as a cannabis consumer.
Hi, my name is Sid. I'm 25 years old. I'm married, and I'm a University of Oregon graduate. I am a former local news anchor, reporter, and producer. I'm a runner, an animal lover, and a generally optimistic and bubbly person. And I enjoy using marijuana. If you're someone who immediately jumped to negative conclusions about my life, ask yourself, what do you really know about marijuana? Because I found those who are adamantly against marijuana usually don't know much about it. Furthermore, if you're against marijuana but you drink alcohol, ask yourself why. Alcohol kills millions of people each year. By comparison, marijuana is harmless, both for personal use and for society, because unlike alcohol, marijuana does not kill, it does not incite violence, and it does not lead to criminal acts. This is a public safety issue. We need to break down the negative social stigmas, the laws, and the misguided policies that are forcing people to choose alcohol over marijuana. Because driving people to drink is dangerous, it's hypocritical, and it just doesn't make sense. My marijuana use had never negatively impacted my life until recently, when I lost my job as a local news anchor. Like any other workday, I showed up completely sober. I was stressed, on my way to a live shot in rush hour traffic behind the wheel of a work car, and I accidentally tapped the bumper of the car in front of me. I was immediately forced to take a drug test to pee into a cup, and that was that. The decision to fire me didn't come from my immediate supervisors, who actually worked with me every day and told me that they wanted me to keep my job. That's because they knew me and they trusted me, just like they trusted my coworkers who used alcohol in their free time. No, the decision to fire me came from a corporate attorney who had never even met me. Marijuana might be legal in Oregon now and a handful of other states, but clearly we still have a long way to go. When you consider the facts, it is crazy to think that marijuana has ever been considered dangerous, but I think that it's at least partly due to a lack of exposure. We need more realistic examples of normal and responsible marijuana users. So here I am. Like many other stoners out there, I don't fit the lazy, stupid, loser stereotype. The only stereotype that I've been fighting in my life is being considered an overachieving goody-goody. I'm responsible, I'm educated, I'm a woman, and the vast majority of people who meet me would never in their wildest dreams assume that I use marijuana. But I do, I'm really tired of hiding it, and that is why I want people to take notice. I want to start a conversation. I want you to ask me anything. If you don't agree with me, please let me know why, because I want people to be informed, no longer misinformed. I truly believe that once people know the facts about marijuana, you're going to be just as confused as I am that we're even having this debate.
That's Sid Maurer, the former KEZI morning anchor, who has come out as a loud and proud cannabis consumer, standing up for our rights and trying to understand why her, and this is going to be her career that's derailed on this, I don't know. Well, maybe Oregon and the western states, it develops that she could get a job somewhere. But to lose your job at 25, fresh out of college, making your way in the world over something that harmed nobody in no way is just offensive. And for the people out there that have been given her grief, you should all be forced to immediately take a piss test. And if it shows any indication you drank alcohol within the past week, you should have to find another career. Does that sound fair to you? Well, it's not fair, and that's what we're saying.
Hey, bud, let's party.
All right, let's party. It's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado. It's 3:20 here in Potland, Oregon. We have the Mile High City, we have the Emerald City, and we have Potland as the three places where, well, Anchorage too. I'll have to come up with a name for Anchorage. And Washington, D.C., five major American cities, folks.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Saturdays at noon Pacific for Medical Marijuana Radio, podcasting at medicalmarijuanaradio.com. Larry Love is reporting on the latest national news and studies concerning medical use of cannabis with interviews of experts and policy analysis. Check our online listings for Medical Marijuana Radio with Larry Love from medicalmarijuanaradio.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we are going to spend some more time across the pond, but not where you'd think. We're not going to England quite yet. We're going to make our way to Denmark. And in Denmark, the headline is that young people are choosing marijuana over drugs and alcohol. Well, spot on. Well done. Well done. The Danish National Institute of Public Health has released new figures that show high school students are rejecting alcohol and hard drugs in favor of marijuana, or as they would say there, cannabis. Over the past two decades, cannabis use among male high school students has almost doubled, and use among female high school students has increased by about half. In 1996, about one in four male teenage Danes had tried marijuana. The number was 26%. 26% of male teenage Danes had tried marijuana, and almost one in five female teenage Danes, it was 19%, had tried marijuana. That was back in 1996. Today, half of all teenage male Danes, 50%, have tried marijuana, and almost one third of all the females, 31%, had tried marijuana. So they went from 26 to 50 with the men, and from 19 to 31 with the women. Now, among the Danish teens, about 1 in 8, 12% of them, report using cannabis in the past month. 1 in 8. Over 1 in 5 males say they've used marijuana at least 10 times. And overall, among all Danes of any age, over one-third, it's 35.6%, say they have tried marijuana. Now, compare that with the United States. The latest Gallup poll just came out. Adults 18 and over, 44% in the United States have tried marijuana. So the Danish aren't anywhere near us in marijuana use, but these figures are interesting because that's the greatest rate of marijuana experience among the entire European Union. Denmark, can you believe that? Even besting the famously cannabis-tolerant Dutch in Amsterdam and all the legal coffee shops? Nope, it's Denmark, folks. That's the place where the most people have had an experience with cannabis. Interesting, I wouldn't have guessed that. Now, for the sake of comparison, let's compare the teenage rates in Denmark to the teenage rates in the United States. According to our Monitoring the Future study, this is a survey of 8th, 10th, and 12th graders. And they asked the 12th graders, it shows that half of the teens of both sexes have tried marijuana. And that's a figure that's been in decline since about the year 2000 when it was 57%. So that's about 50% right now. About half of your high school seniors have tried pot. But current monthly use is greater in America, with over 1 in 5 using monthly. 21.2% of high school seniors are smoking pot at least monthly. Now, the marijuana use among the youth has increased in Denmark, and at the same time, their drinking rates have shown a decline. The final figures haven't been released yet, but the project leader, her name is Pernille Bentsen, told Danish Broadcasting, quote, "There are a little bit fewer who drink often, while there are more who have tried smoking cannabis. Therefore, you could say that there has been a shift in the use of drugs and alcohol," end quote. Yes, you could say that. Among U.S. teens, drinking is also on a downward trend. For U.S. 12th graders, according to the Monitoring the Future study, 3/4 were drinking monthly in the early 1980s. When I was in high school, 3 out of 4 teenagers were drinking every month. That dropped to half by the late 1990s. And now monthly drinking among high school seniors is below 2 in 5 for the first time ever. It's less than 40% among high school seniors now. And binge drinking, that's when you drink 5 or more drinks in a row, has also dropped by half. It was over 40% in the 1980s. It's under 20% now. How about other drugs? Well, the figures for the use of drugs other than marijuana by Danish youth have shown a recent drastic decline. About 1 in 25 Danes aged 16 to 24, we're talking about 3.9% of them, had used a drug other than marijuana in the past year. And that's down by more than half since 2008. It was over 8% of 16 to 24-year-old Danish people using drugs other than marijuana, down by more than half. Now, in the United States, we have to switch to a different survey, the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. About 1 in 6 Americans aged 16 to 25, I can't narrow it down to 24 with our data set, but 16 to 25, about 16.2% have used a drug other than marijuana in the past year. 1 in 6 Americans in the young age group. That's down from 18.4% in 2008 and down from a full 1/4 or 25% since 1982. So in other words, despite the great differences in these two countries, over time, their young people have shifted their drug choices from alcohol and hard drugs to marijuana. Gosh, it's almost as if they realize it's a far safer alternative. Now look, I'd prefer minors don't use any drugs, but if they're going to, at least choose the ones that can't kill you. We'll have that posted up on marijuanapolitics.com. Make sure you check out marijuanapolitics.com. Every day at noon, I'll have a new post up there. One international post a week, 2 editorials a week, and the other 2 are news, so check them out. Also, I'm writing at hightimes.com. You can find my posts there Tuesdays and Fridays. And I may have something new up on Huffington Post this weekend. We will keep you posted. Follow my Twitter account, @RadicalRuss, if you want the updates. We're back with Cannabis Cure UK, a.k.a. Greg DeHote, from England, when we return.
in to the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
Everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
One of America's leading exports over the past 50 years has been the global war on drugs. Through UN treaties, we have bent the world to accept our marijuana prohibition. Learn how our allies in Europe are fighting for their freedom as we go across the pond.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's an interesting situation. We've got Greg DeHoat on the show, and he's on the Skype, but for some reason the call isn't connecting, so I've got him on the chat room here, trying to figure out how we're going to be able to talk to him. It looks like we've got connection, we got bandwidth, all of that, so maybe I'll have him try to call me. This is interesting. Okay, now I see a call coming in over on my phone rather than my computer. All right. I hate this new Skype. Thanks, Microsoft, for messing everything up. Let's see. Got to hang that up. Okay, hold on. Sorry for the delay. Let me take a break here, and we'll come back with Greg in just a second, just as soon as I can get the tech figured out. We'll be right back.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of
420radio.org.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Amendment 2 isn't what it seems. Its caregiver provision gives legal protection to marijuana dealers. Even felons and drug dealers could be caregivers. Amendment 2 caregivers don't need background checks or medical training. So what looks like a safeguard is really a loophole. Amendment 2 caregivers can't be arrested or sued if their pot hurts someone. They don't call it the Drug Dealer Protection Act, but they should. Vote no on Amendment 2.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
One of America's leading exports over the past 50 years has been the global war on drugs. Through UN treaties, we have bent the world to accept our marijuana prohibition. Learn how our allies in Europe are fighting for their freedom as we go across the pond.
Well, folks, we're still trying to make this happen. We're on the same Skype, chatting with each other and clicking the button that calls the person that you're chatting with. But when he tries to call me, I don't see it here. And when I try to call him, he doesn't see it there. So we're both going to try to reboot this thing, because that's the first rule in IT, is when in doubt, reboot. And in the meantime, I'm going to give you a special from Chief Greenbud, a song that you can't hear anywhere else but right here at 420 Radio. This is Really Good at Selling Weed.
Four-letter words, but rising early is for the birds. I've got a good job that keeps my vision blurred. I'm really good at selling weed. I won't flip burgers, I won't park cars. Hell, walking to the corner is walking too far. I'm sitting right here smoking a big cigar. I'm really good at selling weed. I never leave the house, I never leave my couch. People come and see me. Knock on the back door, got what you're looking for. It's the chronic you need. You're looking for smoke. I'm not fronting you, 'cause your ass is broke. When you give me money, then you'll get to toke. I'm really good at selling weed. I never leave the house, never leave my couch. People come and see me. Knock on the back door, got what you're looking for. It's the chronic you need. I know the DEA is tapping my phone. I'm always paranoid. My cover is blown. I even check my mom for hidden microphones. Yeah, I'm really good selling weed. Man, I hope the cops don't hear this song. You know, but if they do, I was just kidding. I don't know nothing about selling any weed. Selling weed. I mean, I saw a sign. It said work from home. Said I didn't even need an internet connection.
Selling weed.
I mean, I have one, but I don't need one. I use it for, you know, online Bible study.
Selling weed.
And the occasional bestiality video. I don't know. You do need a phone, though. Selling That's very important in this line of work. Preferably one of the disposable phones, where you can buy the minutes. Am I giving out too much information? Is that what's happening here? Maybe I should just shut up now.
Selling weed.
Okay, if you need some weed, why don't you call me? My phone number.
One of America's leading exports over the past 50 years has been the global war on drugs. Through UN treaties, we have bent the world to accept our marijuana prohibition. Learn how our allies in Europe are fighting for their freedom as we go across the pond.
All right, folks, I think the third time is a charm, and we've got ourselves connected with Greg DeHoat, a.k.a. Cannabis Cure UK. Can you hear me, Greg?
Hey, Ross, how's it going?
Spiffing excellent. That's awesome. I'm glad we can hear you. How you doing?
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, not too bad. It's been an exciting week over here.
It sure has, and thanks for joining us here at what is now 11:41 p.m. UK time. Dang. We appreciate you staying up.
Yeah, no worries.
But the big story we told today on the 420 headline news, the city of Durham that is essentially decriminalized cannabis there. Tell us more about that.
Well, it's I think the papers have run away with them, so. A bit as usual, like yeah. They do in the UK. They've pretty much said it's a green light to grow cannabis. You know, it's a free for all, but it's not really. They just said we're not going to focus our resources on people, smoking a joint or who've got possession of cannabis. They're not going to go and stop and send officers out to stop and search people to get cannabis targets like. Other surrounding counties which still do. Ron Hogg's force have only got about a fifth of the cannabis arrests that surrounding counties like Northumberland and Cleveland have got. So he's already enforcing this kind of practice. This information was actually told to a journalist by a cannabis club member who realised that, you know, this was kind of big news and published a story about it. I think Ron Hogg was intending to do it, but I think he dealt with it all very, very well. And I think it's been really positive overall. Some people have been had a bit of vitriol towards him and I've asked for his head. But I think that's a bit... Several other police crime commissioners have come out and said that they will support Ron Hogg as well and they will do the same thing. And I think there's even more forces have sort of like started a debate, and everyone has been contacting the cannabis social clubs, the UK CSC, to find out how they can get in contact and influence them, because the papers have we have been in contact with Ron Hogg, and we have really tried to send the message of what's happened in the rest of the world. We particularly stayed focused on what happened in Washington when they deprioritized cannabis to the lowest law enforcement priority. That's our message. When they put police crime commissioners is a new role in society over here. They only started about 2 years ago, but when they did, we contacted every single one of them as soon as they got to office. It was the first email they got from anyone, because I made sure of it, and we said this is the path that we want to take. This is the direction we think is a right.
Yeah, I'm glad you
mentioned. We've put into we put in there that police forces are going to lose 40% of their budget in the next year. Thanks, we've got a new Conservative government, so they're going to be forced to, you know, not go after crime that isn't really crime. They're going to have to go after things that, well, the crime that people report.
Sure, sure. And I'm glad you mentioned the example of Washington, and specifically Seattle, Washington, which long before legalization happened, Seattle kind of blazed the trail by setting an official lowest law enforcement priority. And that sounds to me more like what's going on there in Durham.
I forgot it was in Seattle, but that's the kind of, you know, it led to good things. And I think it, not just from, you know, the cannabis community side of you know, perspective, it led to good things from the police's perspective, because they could actually deal with real crime. And a lot of what we're seeing over here, the interaction that they have with cannabis consumers in the majority of the country, let's not just talk about Durham now, it's negative, and it causes a disharmony between the public and the police. And really, we want to be on the same side. We want them to be able to protect us, but cannabis consumers don't feel like they can be protected by them. They actually feel like they're hunted down by them. So this is hopefully going to build some better relationship within the community.
Now, is this a city-wide, or is it a county-wide? Because you mentioned some counties as you were talking.
I believe it's a county that is the whole sort of his jurisdiction, but I don't. It might be a couple of other places in the north, you know, surrounding towns in the northeast. I'm not totally sure about what the borders are, but there are. I think there are four jurisdictions up there, and he's got the lowest cannabis numbers already. So he's been enforcing this policy for about 2 years already. It's come to light now, and it's about time. He's been really good. He could have just said, you know, no comment or talk about it. I don't know what they're saying, and tried to make this club look like this. Hasn't. He's stood by his word and said, yeah, this is what I'm doing. He's got, you know, the cannabis club. You know, they're not the people that have influenced me. This is what I've been doing for a while. But I do talk to them, and I've spoken to all the, you know, lots of different drug groups in the. And this is the policy that we want forward. So this is actually a thing that a lot of people want within the local community. It's not just that Ron Hogg is just, you know, an ex-police officer and an ex-senior police officer as well. So he's got 30 years experience in this area already. He knows what's happening in the real world. Mm-hmm. He's not just come over here and he's just not trying to make a move to be different. He has seen the damage that prohibition has caused, and he's had to play a part in that damage as well. Now he's trying to do the right thing to rectify that.
Now, looking at this, you know, from a broader perspective, looking across the UK, and, you know, my experience is all in the United States, and we have quite regional differences when it comes to this stuff. The Western states are really liberal on this. The Southern states, very conservative. Northeast is kind of in between. Do you have something similar going on in the UK?
God, it is total postcode lottery over here. Such a small island with such a big population. No, it really is. I'm down on the south coast. I am, you know, an active member of Brighton Cannabis Club. We've got a lot of we hold local events every month, times a month. It's summer at the moment, so we've got a bit more going on. We have an actual membership now. People pay to join the club. Our mission at the moment is to save enough money. We're doing a lot of events to raise money so we can buy our own club. Build it. We're not continuing, you know. We want to build a cannabis social. Sorry, I keep saying that. I think they're little rascals or something. we want to get our own cannabis social club. We want to rent a venue or buy a place eventually and be able to use that clubhouse, because we're absolutely fed up of people moaning about us having protests out in the park. Yeah, we just want to be able to chill out inside, and we won't have to protest anymore.
So you don't have like regions per se that have more or less cannabis support. It's really spotty, like from place to place.
Yeah, pretty much. But down in the southeast, I'd say there is probably the biggest wave of support. It's quite densely populated. There's a lot of competition between the growing now, I think. People want to have different strains and different cuts, and they're flaunting it. And people actually present themselves as cannabis businesses as well. They are spotted all around the country. The entrepreneurial side has very much come out in the last 18 months. Instagram is absolutely full of UK weed hashtags. You can find, you know, medical makers, extract artists, you know, absolutely top shelf nugs that we just weren't seeing out in the open so much 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And I, you know, it was quite hard, a lot harder to come by, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. But it's a lot more out in the open now down in the southeast. It is a. I think it's becoming quite apparent. Okay, it is a weedy. Our generation. I'm 27, so I'd say people who are about 35 and younger, really, cannabis really is part of their lifestyle, and they're not, you know, they're not really actually ashamed to be more and say, yeah, I smoke it, I use cannabis, I'm a medicinal user. 1,500 people come to Green Pride the other day down in Brighton. Scotland seem to have quite a good following in Glasgow. We've had quite a lot of interest from different people in London who are now setting up clubs. We've got one in Tottenham, we've got one in Islington, we've got one in London Cannabis Club, and it is really exciting. It's popping off.
Yeah, that's fantastic news. And if folks are just joining us, we're speaking with Greg DeHote, who's on the Twitter at Cannabis Cure UK and part of the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. They're UK Cannabis Clubs on Twitter, and Normal UK, which just dropped the underscore. It's just at Normal UK at this point. What's going on with the laws there? I read some point about... I keep wanting to say Boss Hog, Ron Hog, wanting to talk to Theresa May, the Home Secretary. How likely is that to bear fruit?
I think Ron basically is go forth and talk to the rest of the police crime commissioners. They have several annual meetings throughout the year for all of them across the country. They get together, they present their different ideas, feedback about what's going on in their communities. Because often other people can and help them with that and say, oh yeah, we had that problem, this is how we dealt with it, we're, you know, happy to help or whatever. Ron Hogg's obviously putting this forward to say it's a harm reduction thing. It's not to say we're just gonna grow. They're saying we're not gonna focus resources on people that are growing it for themselves. They're gonna if we do find people that are problematic in their use, we're going to offer them a treatment program rather than prosecute, because we don't think that's effective. So that's exactly what we've seen in Portugal, and it's a step towards decriminalisation, but only on a sort of like local policing level. It's not a national change of law. It's not a change of policy. It's just a different way of handling it, and that's where the wanted to be from Ron, but the papers have said, you know, it's decriminalisation.
Yeah,
but in a sense it is, because they're not going to prosecute people. They are going to keep going gangs though that grow out big houses. We have a big problem over here with the Vietnamese gangs coming over here to take advantage of prohibition, like Canada saw a big flood of this 10, 15, 20 years ago, and they traffic young children into and lock them in the house for 3 years to grow cannabis. Force them to live off super noodles all that time, and they never see daylight, and they don't have their passport, and they're told their family are going to get killed if they run away or tell anyone about what they're doing. So you know, that is another major factor in what they're saying. Like, this is actually bringing slavery and crime and destruction to our streets, and we're handing over loads of money. We could be taxing it, and the police are actually saying, you know, we're losing our funding. Here's a way to make money. So it might be a really situation. Instead of funding schools over here, it might be funding the police. But that's you know, that's just a possibility. I don't know.
Yeah. So how much? I mean, you're still talking about getting to a point of decriminalization. While here in the United States, we got 4 states with legalization, and by 2016, another 8 might be voting on it. So is it just that you're locked into this conservative government right now, or is the legalization in the states having an effect and moving the ball forward here?
Well, I think the way we're going to have to play this out and make the people think about this, I mean, make the government think about it, is looking at all these different jurisdictions in there as if they're their own states or whatever, and you know, have that where the logic starts to rise, and highlight those areas, and let people know really what's going on. I think that's the most important we can do now. Everyone's going to get in contact with their police crime commissioners and force them to go forward with this idea. We predicted things would go since I've come back from the UK. This is the way we wanted them to go. We saw the only way to do it is actually from within, for the, you know, the police and the soldiers on the front line, effectively. This is the Vietnam. They need to fight back and say, no, we're not going to do it. And in 2017, we will see new sentencing guidelines. The Sentencing Council will reform, and we're going to present as much evidence as we've got now to say that, you know, how many people we predict are using it as a medicine in the UK, how many people are growing it as a medicine in the UK, how many commercial growers they are. We've got, you know, contacts with economists at University of Kent, and criminologists at other universities as well, where we're going to start actually compiling this data and really putting a case forward, because these are the opportunities. If the police are going around saying we don't want to prosecute people, and the Crown Prosecution Service is saying we don't want to prosecute people who are growing it as medicine, then why can't they just put that actually, you know, in law? Like, we don't, you know, it's decriminalized. As a personal use, you said that if we catch you a certain amount of times, we'll offer you a treatment program. If you're not a problematic loser, we'll leave you. And from there, the only logical step is to, you know, is to totally declassify it and regulate it. But if they decriminalize it, you know, I'm saying full steam ahead, get a social club. I'm in there now anyway, to anyone that comes to us to say, get your membership, know that you've got your following. Know that you can sign up your members to the club, and then tell them what you want when you sign them up. If that's what they want, then they will join you. People that join you, the effective you're going to be at getting your social club. it is safer in other areas. Bristol is another area on the west coast, and Wales has a pretty heady scene over there as well. Down in Devon and Cornwall, not so much going on down there at all. I don't know how accepted it is. I think there's a lot of people that smoke it because it's very, very rural, a lot of countryside. So you're not going to get bothered too much if you're growing a plant in your back garden or in your spare bedroom. You've got to grow one, but it's not somewhere you go down there to look for the finest herbs.
Yeah.
you don't come across it much.
Well, Greg, we're almost out of time for the segment, but we had one question from our chat room that's not completely off topic, but he wants to know, what do you think about Paul McCartney giving up marijuana again?
Again? Oh, I think it's probably just something to get in the press on it or something. So he's done something wrong and at home, and he's got to say, I'm giving up weed, and he's proven it in papers. I don't know. but why would you say I'm giving up cannabis to be a responsible father when cannabis is a much more responsible drug to use? It doesn't make sense.
He even said he was going to switch to going to drink wine.
If you want us to grow up yourself, tell the truth.
Yeah.
You smoked weed and you come up with some brilliant music and we love you for it, but don't spin us lies about alcohol.
That's right. Well, Cannabis Cure UK, Greg DeHote, it's been a joy talking to you again, and I always promise I'm going to get there across the Atlantic Ocean one of these days so I can get some tattoo on my right shoulder. So we'll see when that happens.
Working on it. Everyone's got to come to Prado Surfer next year. We had our first hemp fest this year, and it was absolutely fantastic, and we're doing it again next year. So check out Prado Surf on Instagram.
All right. Thank you so much. And send me any of those links you need me to get put out on Twitter and such, and I'll make sure it happens.
Thanks very much, Ross.
All right.
Cheers.
Good night.
Cheers,
and happy Saturday to you.
Oh, yeah.
That's all the time I got for Hour 1, folks. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is coming up next. Toker Talk Radio. Phone lines are open at 844-420-RADIO, 844-207-2346. For everyone here in legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.